This view that Washington is the enemy and that any tax dollar paid there is a tax dollar wasted, this view is grotesque. There is a saying in Silicon Valley that loyalty is just one mouse click away, but you can take that too far. Execs there make boasts like, "We are not an American company. We are IBM US, IBM Canada, IBM Australia, IBM China." Oh yeah? Well then, the next time IBM China gets in trouble in China, call Jiang Zemin for help. And the next time Congress closes another military base in Asia, and you don't care because you don't care about Washington, call Microsoft's Navy to secure the sea lanes of the Pacific. And the next time the freshman Republicans want to close a few more U.S. embassies and consulates, call Amazon.com to order a new passport. Sure, it may seem unfair that America assume a disproportionate burden for sustaining globalization. It means there are a lot of free riders, many of whom, like the French, will piggyback on us while criticizing us all along the way. Hey, it comes with the job. Did you ever hear Michael Jordan complain about having to carry his team or even the whole NBA on his back? This doesn't mean America needs to be involved everywhere all the time. There are big, important places, and there are small, unimportant places. And diplomacy is about knowing the difference between the two and knowing how to mobilize others to act where we cannot or should not go alone. The very reason we need to support the United Nations and the IMF, the World Bank and the various World Development Banks is that they make it possible for the United States to advance its interests without putting American lives or treasure on the line everywhere all the time. In order to sustain such a policy, though, it's pretty clear that those who care about American internationalism are going to have to build a new coalition to support it. The administration, from whichever party is in power, is going to have to start to bring together the new globalizers, from the software writers to the human rights activists, from the Iowa farmers to the environmental activists, from the industrial exporters to the high-tech assembly line workers, to form a new 21st century coalition that can sustain American internationalism. America truly is the ultimate benign hegemon and reluctant enforcer. But history also teaches us that if you take this reluctance too far, you can threaten the stability of the whole system. Paul Schroeder, Professor Emeritus of International History at the University of Illinois, is one of the great international historians of the 20th century. He once remarked to me, "If you look at history, the periods of relative peace are those in which there is a durable, stable, and tolerable hegemon who does the adjusting and preserves the minimal necessary norms and rules of the game. And that hegemon always pays a disproportionate share of the collective costs, even foregoes opportunities for conquest or restrains itself in other ways so as not to build up resentments and to make sure the system stays tolerable for others." The difficulty, says Schroeder, comes when the benign hegemonic power, which is responsible for keeping the system stable, is unable or unwilling to pay the disproportionate costs to do so, or its hegemony becomes intolerable and predatory rather than benign, or when enough actors rebel against its rules and insist upon a different kind of system that may not benefit that hegemon. That is what we must avoid. The globalization system cannot hold together without an activist and generous American foreign policy. "Attention," Kmart shoppers, "without America on duty, there will be no America online."